Shift Inside Nissan's Historic Revival. Author, Carlos Gossen. When my grandfather left his village, heading to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, he was nearly illiterate. After decades of hard work, he became the head of several companies. Though he started with nothing, he left a decent inheritance. Upon his death, the family business was divided among his children. My father took over the business related to air travel. When it was time to think about college education, I was naturally drawn towards France. My education gave me a great deal, such as the ability to move quickly from one issue to another and grasp the essential points and fondness for precision. Michelin. When I received a call from an executive at Michelin, I didn't give much thought to the future. The offer was extremely attractive. Early 1981, at the age of 27, I became general manager of the Michelin factory in Pau-en-Velay. In July 1985, I left for Brazil where the situation was critical. Rio de Janeiro. In fact, the Brazilian division could not finance its own investments. Losses were transformed into debts. To deal with debt, we had to cut investments to the minimum. Later, when Françoise Michelin paid a visit to the Brazil branch, we both got to know each other. A year later, I was transferred to the United States. America. With its pending purchase of Uniroyal Goodrich, Michelin was preparing literally to double its size in the world's premier automotive size. I decided to close three of Uniroyal Goodrich's old factories in the United States and Canada, for which I received a lot of criticism. It was a difficult decision, but when positive results came in, it became a remarkable accomplishment. My second challenge was to put together an executive team for the best people the two companies had to offer. Farewell to Michelin. In April 1996, I got to know that Louis Schwarzer at Renault was looking for a second in command, someone with the potential to succeed him one day. I had decided to accept the offer, and in September 1996, at a meeting of Michelin's CEG, I officially said goodbye to the company. Renault. What was it that attracted me to Renault? Cars, to begin with. There are multiple challenges. If you want outstanding success in this market, you have to be good in every area. My second reason for signing on with Renault was the challenge it presented. Coming on board during a difficult period is much more promising than hiring on when everything is going well. Looking for acquisitions. Nissan, the number two Japanese car maker, had exhausted its resources in a vain effort to keep up with the leader, Toyota. Renault initiated contact with Nissan, and since the fall of 1998, negotiators and technicians from the two companies had carried on cordial, productive discussions. Renault had offered to purchase 36.8% of Nissan's capital for $5 billion, and the two corporations would form an alliance. Each partner would retain its identity and its brand names. Nissan's corporate culture. Nissan's corporate personality was confused. There was no coherence, no sense of timing. Management was in complete and obvious chaos. My plan was to work with my team, devise a certain number of basic principles, and follow them. What we had to do at Nissan was to reawaken passion, reconstruct a vision, put things back into phase, give the company a project, and deliver the impetus to carry it out. Analysing the patient. Our people at Renault had examined Nissan's numbers closely and reported them to me, so I was informed about its financial condition and its balance sheet. By March 1999, I knew the company was performing very badly. To understand how the company had reached this point, I spent most of spring 1999 examining Nissan from every angle, inside Japan and outside, in offices, factories, and technical centres, in conversations with suppliers, dealers, and customers. On the drawing board, each team was provided with a pilot senior manager, whose area of competence was most directly linked to the team's defined goal. In order to maintain a free exchange of ideas without intimidating presence of the members of the executive committee, the pilot of each team was put in charge of the agenda and led the discussions at team meetings. When it came to Nissan Revival's plan goals, we pushed the team to achieve a reduction of 20% in purchases, which was ultimately achieved after 3 years. Shock therapy. On October 18th, 1999, I announced Nissan's revival plan in a press conference in which I did not only summarise my diagnosis of its problems, but also reminded the audience of its accomplishments, establishing a significant international presence and being deployed on a global scale, developing a world-class production system, reaching the cutting edge of technology in several crucial areas, and forming an alliance with Renault. Design, develop, finance, and sell. Design wasn't the only area where Nissan needed to transform itself. One of the goals I set for the financial department from the start was the repatriation of all Nissan's debt to Japan. Today, Nissan has no debts. Moreover, the kind of relationships that we maintained in our Japanese sales network were exceedingly mediocre due to their being based on the personal relationship between the seller and his customer. Hence, the key to mending this was the launching of new products as well as entering the sector of marketing minicars and small vehicles with engine capacity of less than 650 cubic centimetres. Minicars accounted for a fully third of private car sales in Japan. A new culture. Nissan had gradually developed a culture in which the standard response to the problems is, "It's not me, it's someone else," was given up. The system of advancement by seniority was abandoned. Individual initiative was encouraged, as well as delegation of responsibilities to those who showed high standards of performance. Future managers were prepared by sending them to the most difficult places. Even lifetime employment was to be guaranteed only by the highest levels of performance. Making the alliance live. This is a century that's going to be increasingly marked by globalisation. Like it or not, however, besides the openness to globalisation, there is also a desire on the part of the people to maintain a sense of national identity. Nissan made a lot of progress due to learning the new language of communication, English, and starting to participate instead of perceiving it as a burden. Maintaining a certain level of self-affirmation as well as willingness to blend with others. Developing synergies in every area and encouraging reputation from Nissan to Renault in manufacturing, quality control and engineering, exchanging specialists. Tomorrow. The question of a carmaker's future can be posed in relatively simple terms. Does it have both competitive products and the capacity to keep it competitive, yes or no? A carmaker's ability to compete is founded primarily on innovation, cost control, maintaining quality standards, improving productivity. New Frontiers. On September 18, 2002, I announced in Beijing the creation of a joint venture with a Chinese partner, the Dongfeng Group. This accord allows Nissan to accelerate its establishment in China by using Dongfeng's existing assets. Maximize the Chinese contribution to vehicles made in China. Achieve a significant increase in the local input and lower costs, flexibility in the manufacturing process, and more through developing a network of suppliers, the majority of which are supplying Dongfeng. Nissan's rebirth is a message of hope. People are surprised at the speed of the progress we've made because we didn't accomplish it with strident pronouncements or grand declarations.